It's 107.7 The Bone. Baby Huey along with Chasta. And Chasta, we're finally out of the radio station and we're here backstage.
They let us out of our cage.
Exactly. At the Fillmore here in San Francisco. And we're here with a very special guest.
Yeah, David Draiman of Disturbed. Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you for sitting down with us right before your big sold out gig.
My pleasure.
I just got tears in my eyes hearing, I don't want to give anything away, but hearing, let's just say an instrumental, beautiful sound check.
Oh, we had probably two instrumentals that they had to check.
Cool. Yeah. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I got all emotional. I'm pregnant, though, so there's that. But I get emotional about a lot of things.
As they say in my heritage and through my tradition, they say at the right time.
At the right time. Yes. I love that.
It's considered potentially a bad omen to say congratulations before the baby is born.
Really?
So say, in Hebrew, the expression would be bishah atova, which means that we're at a good
atova?
Time or at the right time.
Yeah. Bishah atova. I got to remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel so smart already.
I know. Wow. But this is really incredible. First off, kudos to you. One of many sold out shows on your current tour right now. But here to play the legendary Fillmore in San Francisco, I mean, just for you, just in the past, I mean, any fun experiences playing in the Bay Area for you?
Well, we've played here once, very, very long time ago. Danny actually has a much better memory for these kinds of things than I do. All the bong resin stuff.
Yeah, gets stuck up there.
Yeah, but I love this venue. I love the vibe of it. I love the history of it. I love playing San Francisco in general. It's one of my favorite cities in the country.
Nice.
Love the vibe here. If only it stayed a little bit warmer, hell, I'd even consider moving here. But
you should get a house here. There are warm parts of the Bay.
You know, there. If I was going to move in the area, it would be Yountville.
Yountville. There's a great cemetery in Yountville. It's the cutest little
cemetery.
That's
what makes it cool
for you. I'm serious. You go through this little cemetery. And there's these little cherubs, and they're drinking wine on top of these graves.
Okay, but forget about the wine and restaurant row and everything else.
I'm a cemetery freak. You'll have to check it out. Just trust me.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever floats your boat, my dear.
Well, also, since the show here tonight's already sold out, but the other big thing we want to help promote and talk about is you're going to be on tour this summer with Breaking Benjamin, also Alter Bridge and St. Asonia. Let's talk about the Bay Area show Friday, August 19th at the Concord Pavilion in Concord. Tickets on sale now at livenation.com, so we're super stoked about it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, this is arguably probably the biggest rock tour this summer. How'd they kind of come together?
Well, all respect to all of my colleagues, there's a bunch of big rock tours going out this summer, but we're definitely very proud to be a part of everything that is going on this summer as far as rock is concerned. Pretty much it was a matter of Live Nation just putting the elements together and bringing bands to the equation that we couldn't be more happy, than to share a stage with. We're friends with all of these guys. Yeah. I got to meet Ben and the rest of the guys not too long ago in New York when I went to visit them and do a little bit of promo.
We saw.
Yeah.
You're under pressure.
Oh. Yeah.
So you didn't know them before then?
I had never met them before.
Wow. We just assumed you were like hanging out buddies and you came to the show and jumped on stage?
We met first at the show. I mean, Ben and I discussed, you know, what we were going to cover prior. And I came up with the suggestion and he loved it. And he's a huge, Freddie Mercury guy. So he automatically wanted Freddie's part. And I'm like, good.
Take it, please.
This way I can be Bowie and take the easier part. And,
nice.
So all good. But
well, also, we're just glad to see you again. It's been, Chas will say, about like maybe 6 months, 7 months. Last summer, we all originally were hanging out together down at the Rock Bar in San Jose for Sebastian Bach's wedding. And it was really cool to meet you there. And it was super nice of you just to hang out for a bit and, and just... we were surprised to see you there. So, are you good friends with Sebastian?
You were in the wedding party,
We're good friends. I introduced him.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
You introduced him?
I introduced him to his wife,
She's beautiful.
She is.
She's a lucky
she
man.
Is. She's a longtime friend of my wife. They used to do Hawaiian tropic pageants together back in the day.
Nice.
So that's where they met originally. And when Baz fell out of his last relationship, she had always mentioned to me, you know, how much she had a thing for him.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I'm like, okay, I've got a girl for you, but she's a good girl.
Don't mess it up.
Exactly. So
Cupid, you know, here. That's right.
Took some prepping. Yeah, but
that's cool.
Yeah, he was. He's been amazing. He's a great source of inspiration. He's a ridiculously talented guy. I mean, and certainly a good friend.
Yeah, that's cool. It was funny to meet you that night because there's this running joke in my family, in my world, that I married your doppelganger. My husband looks just like you. In fact, I'll tell you, we were at Crew Fest.
No, bald is beautiful.
Yeah, well, it has a lot to do with the hairstyle. It has a lot to do with the facial hair. But you guys have a lot of features there.
It's amazing how much bald guys just look so much alike just for being bald.
It's true. Like, it's so annoying.
I look like
with
Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
I look like Andre Agassi.
Too.
I look like the
Bruce
dude
Willis.
From Californication.
Yep.
I look, you know, like anybody who's
he
bald.
He gets all of those. He's been asked for your autograph at, like, we were at Crew Fest in Dallas. This girl comes up to me. She's like, are you a Dick Raymond? I'm like, yeah.
If he has time,
he's
you know, I could
one.
Use a double. I'll, okay. You know, just tape the piercings to his face or something like that.
Yeah, it's fine. He's a professional drummer, but he can sing too. So I'll let him know. He can be your stunt double.
Well, let's just give a shout out. He just sang with Robert Trujillo, right?
He did. He sang awesome. War Pigs with Robert at a benefit and killed it.
Who else was up there?
It was his kids. He teaches kids. He has a music center.
Oh, awesome.
And so he had a little drummer who was like 10 and another little guitarist who's like 10,
and to
9
have
or 10.
Robert.
And then Robert's there.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
And Robert's an old friend, too.
So,
incredibly talented.
What a nice guy he is, too. Yeah. So you come up in our world all the time. Everybody always compares my husband, Jay, to
explains my consistently burning ears.
Well, also, Chas and I were just concerned, how's your health doing? Was it last week you had, like, the roller coaster ride?
What happened with that?
Oh, that was satire.
It was satire?
What?
Shut up. We were totally bought into it.
A bunch of people
I feel
were.
So ripped
that,
off.
That oh. website is like the Onion of the metal world. And so they all.
We got to blame our,
we were
our intern.
Our intern.
No, no, no.
Told
you
want to
know
story.
Something funny? And
And
I'll apologize to Ben Brumley and his wife who texted me the very next, I think that night that they saw the article, same thing, they were taken in by it. You know, so sorry, Ben, I'm not trying to out you or anything like that. I know you got taken by it too.
Okay.
So he's like, dude, I hope you're okay. You know, we just found out. We wish you a speedy recovery. I'm like, I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, really?
I'm looking at your face and I'm like, God, he healed fast.
Now I got a story to tell. Look at that.
No.
I was looking at you. I was like, I was eating stitches.
That picture was from a picture that Adam, our videographer, took years ago when we were at a roller coaster park.
So it's your fault, Adam.
It was, what was it? It was in New York or what was it? Yeah.
Buffalo or Hershey.
Yeah. And I love thrill rides and stuff, so I'm always all about it. But that was a nice little Photoshop job and. Yeah.
Wow, we totally got duped.
We did everything on the internet.
You're not the only one.
We expected
a lot of
you to come
did.
Out with, like, you know,
you have no
crazy
idea how many messages I got
I
as
bet.
A result of it. Like, dude, are you okay?
Well, that's good.
You know, good.
Found out real quick how loved you are, so that's a good problem.
It's all good. I appreciate the concern.
Early April Fools.
I know.
God.
We fell for it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the tour so far. How's everything been going after, especially the four-year, I guess we'll call it hiatus? Mm-hmm. What's it like for you to, you know, be back on the road and playing Disturbed songs again?
Amazing. We are really at a level of energy and at a level of showmanship and at a level of unity that we have not been at, I don't think, in the entire duration of our career, in all honesty.
Yeah.
We're playing at an unprecedented level.
Wow, that's a great feeling.
It truly, truly is.
Yeah.
And we're just enjoying it so very much. So it's really been a wonderful reuniting and, you know, kind of coming home.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful.
I got your new album when it came out last year. And one of my favorite songs is You're Mine on it. And it just really...
I wrote that for my wife.
Because, I mean, you listen to it, you're like, tears immediately. It's the most beautiful song. But it amazes me. I feel like you have a real knack, especially in the metal world, because I don't think this is easy, to bring your soul to metal music. You know, usually when people write those kind of lyrics, you got to like pull everything back, or a lot of people do, but you don't. You just keep with that like really great Disturbed sound, and then you just throw your heart in it. It's great.
It's the only way I know.
Yeah.
And in truth, I think it's the only way that you truly can convey what you meant when you wrote it.
Yeah.
If you don't put your full heart and your full emotion and your soul into it, as you say, I don't think it affects people the same way.
Yeah. So, that's why it grabbed me.
Good.
The very first time I heard it, I was like, oh my God, his wife. Good. She's a lucky girl. Yeah. Everybody wants a song like that for.
And then mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's really cool. But then also, Jesse, you were talking about the other song, right? That was like really powerful.
Well, Sound of Silence. Yes. I couldn't, whenever I heard that the very first time, I couldn't believe that I was hearing that for a couple reasons. Number one, it's one of the best songs ever written, in my opinion. Super powerful. And maybe I'm wrong, your voice is a very distinct sound. Mm-hmm. And not of Simon and Garfunkel's type sound.
No.
Would I be
not
correct?
Typically.
Okay. So was it intimidating to sing a song that was that raw and that pulled back and just in your face kind of?
Incredibly.
I would imagine.
Especially because it was such a timeless classic and one of the biggest hits of all time.
Yeah.
Very daunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really very experimental. When Mike first suggested the song to begin with.
Oh, he suggested, okay.
Mm-hmm. He had been raised with that as like one of the songs that his parents played in the background during like chores at mm-hmm. the house when
yeah.
it was time for them to do what they needed to do. And, you know, lyrically the song just made so much sense in terms of it being applicable to our writing style.
It's the way you write. If you really break it down and think about it, it matches.
Lyrically,
yeah,
certainly.
Absolutely.
Initially, I thought we were going to approach it in the manner that we've approached most of our covers, mm-hmm. to make it more upbeat, more staccato, more rhythmic, more aggressive. And it was actually Danny's strong suggestion to not do that and to keep it ambient and ethereal and acoustic and orchestral.
Yeah.
And I was very hesitant with that direction, but inspired by it at the same time.
It's a challenge, right?
Incredibly yeah. huge challenge to try and pay homage to a song and do a version of it that is in the same world as the original.
Yeah.
You know, very challenging. And also to go to a place vocally that I had not allowed myself to go since I was a very young man. I mean, we had an acoustic track on the Believe record called Darkness. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't done anything like that really since that record, because during that time, I think the environment was a little bit different. And as wonderful as a song as I think it is, and as many of the Disturbed fans that truly fell in love with it, there were many that just wanted the heavy stuff.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so maybe the timing wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
But that made us hesitant for a while to go back to that zone. Mm-hmm. And even then, I hadn't gone back to my original schooling. I've become a better vocalist over the course of time by learning how to incorporate my classical teaching roots mm-hmm. with the rock delivery
yeah.
that's necessary. So when I used to be able to deliver just a edgy, gritty, distorted sort of vocal sound naturally mm-hmm. using a very complicated technique, achieving vibrato at the same time as delivering it wasn't within my power back
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of my career, I've learned how to incorporate the two. I've had some amazing teachers like Melissa Cross, who's one of my mentors, and she's just fantastic, in my opinion, one of the best vocal coaches in the business. It was Kevin who came up with that intro piano line.
Yeah.
And he played it for me, and it was instantly inspiring. And I had already tracked another song that day.
Wow.
And had no plans of doing anything else. But I heard the piano line, and I'm like, okay, Kevin, let's find a key where we can do that octave shift
right.
that I do in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
And we found a comfortable one, and it's still quite a long range of note progression. So it was challenging one way or the other. And I went into the vocal booth for the longest vocal session of my entire career.
How long?
3 hours.
Oof.
You know, typically I'm done with a song in about 5 takes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's great. That's super
yeah,
fast.
Yeah. I'm normally done yeah. in about an hour, sometimes
yeah.
less.
Yeah.
Because I do my homework
yeah,
ahead of time.
Of course.
But I had no idea where we were going to go with this, really.
Yeah.
I had my, a few pre-rehearsed ideas of some melodic variations and attack variations and rhythmic variations that I wanted to try, but nothing I was set on. So it was a lot of experimenting and just trying different ways of singing it, different patterns of melody, different runs. And after I came out of there And it was the only session in my entire career where Dan and Mike were present in the control room while I was tracking the entire time. Normally, I have no one around, and it's just me and the producer. And I came out of that vocal booth into the control room and saw the looks on their faces, and it was like they had all seen a ghost. So I figured I had done something right.
You would hit something, yeah.
And then it took Kevin 3 days to comp everything.
Really?
Because there were so many different takes and versions. And he finally played it for me once he had picked out everything that he liked best. And contrary to some people's ridiculous assumption that the thing is auto-tuned, there's not a ounce of pitch correction or auto-tune on the entire track.
Yeah, if you know anything about recording.
A lot of people who aren't used to hearing my voice automatically assume that that was what was done to make it sound that way.
Okay, yeah.
But if they come see us live any night we perform it, they'll know that's not the case.
Yeah.
And then he played it for me, and I played it 3 times before giving him a reaction or even turning around from the control board.
Oh, wow.
So he got very nervous. He thought I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then when I turned around, I was already all misty-eyed. Mm. And, you know, I thanked him, and I'm like, you know, dude, this is beautiful. And thank you for encouraging me to go down this path. And, you know, it's so gratifying and so much like a almost as if a weight had been lifted off my shoulders.
I think it brings so many new people into the Disturbed world because so many people have these preconceived notions about metal music and not realizing how much of what you were just talking about goes into, you know, a performance and recording and all that. So it really opened you guys up to that.
Yeah, I love it. I love the new demographic that we're reaching. I love that people who've never heard of us before are suddenly saying to themselves, who are these guys? Yeah. I love that, you know, I'm getting... You know, it's finally a song that I can play for my family and my parents that they don't have to be afraid of. And, you know,
yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. But, you know, even though it is as approachable as it is, it still has that really beautiful darkness.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's still very much us.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh. The other thing, David, I wanted to ask was during the 4 year break from the band, you accomplished a lot of things on your own as far as your own solo band and then...
The experiment, I like to call it.
The experiment.
But also, one thing I really want to ask you about is your time producing. And one of my favorite bands, if you couldn't tell already, I'm wearing the shirt, Trivium. You produced their Vengeance Falls album. Mm-hmm. Just touch on... I mean, Chas and I are good friends with Matt and Paulo and the other guys in the band. But just for you, how is just... reflecting on that experience working with them.
Oh, amazing. Those are some of the most talented guys I've ever had the opportunity to share a room with, in all honesty. Their level of proficiency as players is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
They were so easy to track, you know, once we had finalized the ideas. It was cake. I mean, I think the most difficult part of the process was hashing out what ideas they did have. And I was very fortunate because they were so willing to be receptive to suggestion. And they knew that in working with me, and I knew that in working with them, that I was going to be taking them down a different path. And that I was going to be, you know, much to the chagrin of some of the hardcore Trivium fans who want to hear Matt scream all the time. And, you know, I'm not a scream guy. And that's not why they came to me. And don't get me wrong, I didn't want to completely divorce them from that. But the idea of us working together was to infuse a lot more melody, to make the choruses much bigger, and to make them have a definitive stylistic pivot that occurred in their career.
I think his vocals are better now.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Than 10 years ago.
I agree.
He, especially Silence in the Snow, that out. I mean, it's like, wow.
You know what? He took everything that I helped him with and that I helped him learn and amplified it. He's had training with one of the best vocal coaches in the industry, Ron Anderson, who took him to the level after that. It was a tremendous educational experience for all of them. And more importantly, I kind of taught them how to do what I was showing them on their own. One of the most unique parts of our horrible recording process was, even though I would nitpick and dissect every single song idea that they gave to me down to the bone, when it came towards the end, when we had already done it 10, 13, 14 times, I'm like, okay, now you guys know, I think, where you think I would go with some of this stuff. Take this idea, and now I want you to redo it completely on your own, then bring it back to me and let's see how you've done. Wow. And so they did, and sure enough, they did most of the things that I would have done to it.
Okay.
And made it a much stronger song with a much bigger hook.
Yeah.
And so they learned some of the tools.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of them, and I'm very proud of their new record. I love the new record. I think it's a very demonstrative statement of their ownership of the metal world on so many levels. So I'm, like I said, I couldn't be more proud.
Any chance of you working with them again down the road, or
I certainly don't shut the door to that, but it would really have to be a unique situation where we both had the time and that our schedules made sense together. Like I said, it was a pleasure.
Gotcha. So. Well, we have a couple more minutes left with you. Just one question I wanted to ask is, okay, Chasten knows I'm a huge wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. Today is March 16th, 316. So online, there's a lot of people calling it Austin 316 Day, Stone Cold Steve Austin Day. And, of course, you know, when I grew up during the whole Attitude Era, Stone Cold was big. You guys recorded
Glass Shatters.
So just kind of, you know, just quickly, how'd that come together? Did WWE ask you guys to
they
do
did.
It?
They did. They approached us, and, they had a very previous skeletal version of what the song was. Mm-hmm. And so we beefed it up and added the lyric to it and got to meet, you know, Stone Cold and hang with him a bit. And he loved our version of it and really embraced it. So it was an interesting experience. I remember when they used to have that WWE, or then it was WWF.
Yes, yes.
Venue in New York, mm-hmm. and playing that whole performance and being incorporated into the show. It was interesting, for sure. And it was a pleasure to work with him and to meet him, for
awesome.
Sure.
Awesome. That's really cool.
So we always like to wrap with my favorite question in the world. My favorite movie was Almost Famous. I don't know if you're a fan of that.
Love that movie.
But
sure.
At the end, the reporter asks, what do you love about music?
My favorite thing about music is the ability for it to set you free. You know, to take you away from everything in life that is bogging you down, that could be really bothering you, that could be affecting you, that could be depressing you. I love how it empowers you. I love how it transcends normality. You know, that's to me my favorite part of music. I love being able to go up on stage and to have a room full of however many thousand people we're playing in front of feel stronger walking out than they did when they came in.
You're wise beyond your years. Wow. I feel smarter just sitting here with you.
Well, David, thank you so much for making the time today. We really appreciate it. Good luck tonight playing a sold-out show at the Fillmore. But, hey, we're looking forward. If you weren't able to come to the show tonight, you can see them again
August.
With Frank and Benjamin, with Alter Bridge and St. Esonia. Friday, August 19th at the Concord Pavilion. Like we say, get your tickets now at livenation.com. Also, get Immortalized. They're newest record, you and I both love it, so go get it. Also, find everything on their website, disturbed1.com, and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. So, David, thank you again so much for making the time
today.
Thank
you, guys.
Thank you
so
much.
For your support.